our bodies are so smart and they are brilliantly designed and they know how to heal. We just need to give them the opportunity to do that and support them in doing that instead of just suppressing all of these uncomfortable symptoms. A fever has a purpose. It's hard to see your kid have a fever and they're kind of miserable, but that fever is doing such a good work in their body to rid their body of whatever it's fighting. And then when we go and give them Tylenol, not only are we depleting their glutathione, we are suppressing the fever that can't kill whatever it needs to kill. So there's truth to your statement in terms of like, we're just letting it take care of itself.
My name is Lisa, mother of 7 and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch, cooking, and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
Thank you so much for joining me, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having me.
So I haven't been on Instagram in forever, like up till yesterday, and so whenever I was looking at this outline and it said that your move to Tennessee, I had Erin from Essentially Erin on, like I interviewed her. That's been my last interview.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that Leanne, my podcast manager, just mixed up the questions because she moved to Tennessee and we talked about that. Then I'm like, Wait, okay. So you also moved to Tennessee and this is like brand new information to me. I'm like, wait, when's she moving? Oh, she already moved. What is going on? So we got some questions about that. So Since that wasn't actually an error intended for Erin's interview, that was really yours. Now I've interviewed 2 people in a row who've moved to Tennessee. Yeah, we'll talk about that. So let's start first, for those who don't know you, which I think most do because you've been on my podcast before, introduce yourself. Tell me about you, your family, your business.
Yeah, of course. So I am Elizabeth. I am mainly over on Instagram at Purely Parsons. I started that account. I mean, I've had my Instagram account since like everybody else has had their Instagram account, but I changed my name and I went public in 2018 and just kind of started sharing about my family and just a lot about natural health. And I was a nurse and I was working as a nurse kind of on my own health journey and holistic journey, which has been, you know, is never over. Like you're constantly learning. And it was just kind of fun to be able to share my passions and share a lot about the things that I was doing for my kiddos and kind of just empowering moms to like care for their families at home and not always question themselves and to feel confident to do that. Not that there's never a time and a place to go to the doctor or for Western medicine, but I have found as a mom of 5 that I'm able to do most things, you know, within the 4 walls of my home. And it's all about being prepared and being empowered. And so that's kind of what I did. I took nap times to record story highlights and save those to my profile. And then people would send their friends my way. And it just kind of grew from there. I started also selling organic elderberry kits in 2019. And that really helped to kind of get my name out there. And those are still a huge part of our life. And we have a small shop now with it has expanded. And I do a lot of different things now with Instagram, but that was kind of how it all started. So mom of 5, husband, I've been married to my husband for 14 years and we work together now, which is super fun. I was a nurse for almost a decade. And then I came home in 2020, like right before the pandemic started, which the timing was kind of, it wasn't supposed to work out like that, but it just kind of did. And very thankful to be home now. So.
Yeah. And so with the move to Tennessee, you didn't have to worry about your husband's job because You have your shop now where you sell all kinds of like natural skincare and tell us a little bit about your shop.
Yeah. So I was like always talking about elderberry syrup and I had friends like, can you send me some elderberry syrup? Like, can you ship it to me? And I'm like, I don't really know. Let me look into that. And like back then it was just like, it was too overwhelming to figure out how to ship made elderberry syrup. So I started mm-hmm. shipping the dry ingredients, which is where the kits came in.
Yeah.
And that was the only product that we had for a few years. And then when my husband got more involved, he was like, we should add some products. And I was like, yeah, probably. And so we actually just last December added, I think it was 5 new products to the shop. So we have 3 natural perfumes. We have like more of a woodsy scent. We have like a jasmine scent, and then we have like a beachy scent. So maybe a lot of women don't know that conventional perfumes have a lot of like hormone disrupting chemicals in them. That's why they stay on you so long. Like, that's not a good thing. And so we wanted to create something that was natural and something that moms could really feel like they could be around their kids and they could kiss their babies. And so we have perfumes, we have detox bath kits, we have a facial serum, we have a lash serum. Lots of fun stuff over there, and we're actually working on expanding and rebranding right now. So that's taking a lot of energy as well. Mm-hmm. But it's all exciting.
yeah, and just a move with all of that. So mm-hmm. yeah. So okay, since this is like new news to me too, this is fun. which I obviously like can go back and watch your reel and all of that, and like see like the overview of why you moved, but let's hear it from you.
Well, and don't feel like you're too behind, because honestly, we didn't share anything until we were already here. We had been here, I think, for like a week. And so I had not shared like the whole moving process. I didn't share any of it because honestly, and by the time this podcast comes out, Noah and I will already have done like a Q&A on like why we moved, reasons why we kept it a secret. It wasn't like we were keeping it a secret. It was just like, it was a big thing. And for us, it was just like, we already have 5 kids. We're moving across the country. It's already enough to like do mm-hmm. all of that and do it well and keep your sanity. And then to also bring over 200,000 people into that is just a lot, because people have opinions and they have, you know, well-meaning things to say. And it's just a lot. And I just didn't have the time or the energy to share it yet. And, you know, I think when somebody shares their life online, it can be very easy to follow them and feel like you are entitled to know every single thing about their life. And that is just so not true. And so it's kind of a balance that I've found, because I do love my community and I do feel like they are like family and they've been on so many journeys with us. And, but this one, we just felt like it was going to be better and more like better for our family if we just kind of kept it to ourselves, made it. Because also with a move that big, things can happen and like it can fall through. And we really didn't close on our new home until we were already in the process of coming here. And so it was like last minute, like things were changing. There was shifting seas. So it was just better to just keep it kind of a secret. But then it was fun because we got to do like this big, like, hey, we moved.
Like it's official.
Yeah.
So tell me about your new place. Like, what drew you to Tennessee and what drew you to your new property? Is this like homestead motivated, self-sustainability motivated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So like you had mentioned before, my husband we work together now. And so we were not bound by geography, and I don't think we ever thought, so we lived in Texas before. We were in South Texas and we love Texas and still love Texas. We had lived there for 7 years. I don't think that we ever thought we were going to leave. But as we started thinking about, we knew that we weren't going to be at the house that we were at forever, because it was only 4 acres and it was just too close to the city. We wanted to get out. We wanted land. So we knew that we were going to move, but we just thought it was mm-hmm. going to be somewhere within Texas. But as we just started looking, Texas is very expensive. It's like you either get the land you want or you get the house you want. You can't really have both. And also just the way that you have to raise animals in Texas, because it's so dry, you really have to, you know, supplement a lot. And we want our animals to really live off the land as much as possible and just kind of taking it back to God's design. And really just, we want to do rotational farming. And so just there was a lot of different reasons. We're closer to family on this side of the country as well. So that was huge. Also, this part of the country is just so beautiful. The mountains, it's not just hills. There's like actual mountains, which in Texas, we don't have a lot of.
Yeah.
It's just so beautiful. We love the nature. We're a huge outdoor family. We love hiking and just being in the beauty of creation. And so we're so excited to go start adventuring. I think our kids think that we just like lied about that because we haven't we haven't gotten to get out yet. Cause we're like, we're still trying to like get settled, but also, yeah, we have 70 acres now and that's very doable with, you know, we can do everything we want to do. We want to eventually get cows and have our own dairy. We don't want to be farmers. We just want to be homesteaders. We want to do it for our own family and to be able to, you know, supply our own as much as possible beef. And I would love to get pigs, but it's just kind of like learning as we go. And it's kind of scary and really exciting. So
awesome. So have you shared like pictures of the house and the property on your Instagram yet?
I haven't shared. We've shared like the view, which is stunning. It's like looking at it right now and it just takes your breath away. It's like right outside of our front door is just like these mountains. And it's just, you feel like I've had so many people say like, you need to do a soundbite to The Hills Are Alive because it just looks like Austria out there. It's like so mountainous and it's just so breathtaking. And I don't think I'll ever get over it. But we were very intentional with kind of like our wording of exactly where we are because the internet can be crazy and a little bit intense. And so we kind of want to keep it a little bit private. We haven't said specifically where we are, but we're definitely like towards East Tennessee and the Tri-Cities, surrounding area of the Tri-Cities. And that's probably as specific as we'll get, but we've shown like the landscape and I don't even think I'll like show like the house.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know, you know, it's just kind of like you get it like with being public, like you just never know who's watching you. Mm-hmm. So we just want to be really careful and also bring people into our world as best we can. So.
Right. Yeah. There is that balance. And I don't know if going back, I would like literally not even have mail delivered here because that's something that like completely gives away your location apparently. But
that's a huge thing. I mean, even just like regular mail.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like literally you can't have any mail sent to your house, which is a whole thing. Like, how do you do that?
It's really hard. We did open a PO box that's to like specifically business, like all my brands and stuff. That's the address that I'm going to give them just to try and keep it a little bit separate. And obviously we have a small business, so we're like shipping things out. So we had to have like a PO box and a mailbox. Uh-huh. So it kind of gives your location somewhat away.
Yeah. But the less you show, that sounds great. Like
for sure.
Exactly. Like there's no need to, you can get value out of your content, with that.
Yeah.
All right. I want to take a quick break from this conversation to tell you about one of my favorite sponsors that I use all the time, and that is Azure Standard. So if you've been following along for a while, you have probably heard of Azure Standard. It works essentially like a co-op where several people get together, pool their orders so that way they can get free shipping and a discount. There are drops all throughout the country, so you don't have to organize this for yourself. There are already people who are likely going to a drop near you. So all you need to do is get on the Azure Standard website and check out where the drop is. So for me in my area, there are two different ones that I could go to within 30 minutes. And it's a once a month thing. So you can place your order. And then it's cool because there's a deadline for when you can order for the next pickup, but you can keep adding stuff. So what I'll do is I will order a bunch of stuff. And then as I think of it, I'll get back on the website, add something. That way I at least cover my bases. I get my order placed. But then if I think of more, it's not final, which I really like because so many websites, you think of that one thing you wish you would have gotten after you place your order, but you also don't want to forget to order. So I will place it as soon as I can. And then I will jump back on and add things as I think of it. Things like my last order, I got 30 things of grass-fed butter, which I store in the freezer and just pull out as I need it. We get animal feed like oats and barley and alfalfa pellets. In the kitchen, I stock up with all-purpose flour, with einkorn flour. I do this whole grain bread flour that I like for my sourdough. You can do produce, so whenever something's in season, there's usually a discount on it. You can search through and find what is a good deal right now. There's household products. I like that it's all organic stuff, but then there's usually bulk prices, and then also that co-op feeling where you're getting it more direct, and so it's less expensive, and you can find a lot of things that you maybe couldn't otherwise find, like raw cheese. So I am baking my cheese, but then also I'm also not all the time. And so you can get these big blocks of raw cheddar cheese, and I can't find that local. I usually can find just a little square of it, and it's $12 for just the tiniest amount. So I get these big blocks of raw cheese. I have a few videos over my YouTube channel where I do hauls. So if you're interested in seeing what all things I pick up from Azure Standard, you could check out one of those. Azure Standard is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 10% off for new customers with orders $50 or more to a drop location. So if you find your drop location and you're a new customer, 10% off with the code SIMPLEAUTUMN10. So that's a really great deal. It's a one-time use coupon per customer. That coupon will work through November of 2023, and it's only for first-time Azure Standard customers with a minimum order of 50 or more to the drop location. Again, that code is SIMPLEAUTUMN10. So if you've been looking to check out Azure Standard to see if they have stuff that's a good deal for you and your family, head on over to AzureStandard.com and use that promo code. Okay, so with that, like, what are the plans? Because, you know, we talk a lot about homesteading on this channel and simple living, like, as far as being self-sustainable. So what's the, like, one-year plan?
The one-year plan.
We got that far? Yeah. Like, what's the first animal?
We're going to get some dairy cows. So that is something that will have probably already happened by the time this episode airs. But we've already connected with, like, a local farmer that, like, we've been out to his farm, and they do, like, all grass-fed, and it's just pasture-raised, and they have really quality heifers. And so they're going to be bred, and I think we're going to get two of those to begin with and go from there.
Are you thinking Jerseys?
Yeah, I think they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
okay.
I think we're getting those in August. So we'll see where we go from there. But my husband definitely wants to do beef at some point. So cows for sure. Well, we have chickens in the incubator right now. I don't even think about that. Chickens are just, like, you know, we were actually going to bring our chickens with us. But that changed last minute. It's all on the move highlight where I talk about kind of like the adventure that it was to get here, but we were going to bring our chickens and then we had to last minute sell them. So we are missing our chickens big time. So my husband actually orders, like, fertilized eggs just off of Etsy from just, like, small farmers, you know? And so we have, I think, we've probably got, like, close to 40 eggs in the incubator that are going to be hatching over the next couple weeks. So
yeah,
excited to get
those going. So next summer, you're going to have more milk and eggs than you know what to do with.
Hopefully that's the plan. That is the plan.
Yeah. So are you planning to sell the milk, or are you just going to, like, use, you know, the milk to make cheese and preserve it? Or what's your plan with the two Jerseys?
I think so they're not going to be due to calf until the spring. And then, I don't know. I don't know if we've thought about it. I think, you know, if there's people that are interested, then we wouldn't be opposed, but it's definitely mainly just for our family to be able to live off of our land.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do want to explore being able to do things like make cheeses and get back into making yogurt regularly again. That's something that I used to do a lot, and my kids love yogurt, but it's just, you know, buying the milk to make it and, you know, thinking like, oh, I need to get an extra gallon for that. But to just be able to have it is going to be so nice. And then just to learn to make things like butter and cheese. I'm just so excited. And to be able to do it with an animal that, like, you've raised and you care for is going to be so rewarding for sure.
Yeah.
And we also are hatching guineas.
Okay.
Which is going to be new for us because in this part of the country, ticks, I don't remember if ticks were like a huge thing in Missouri.
Oh yeah.
Where you are when we lived there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So guineas are supposed to like be able to like take out a whole tick population. Uh-huh. So I'm like, yes, please, because I have seen more ticks since we've been here in the last two weeks than I've seen in my life, mainly on our dogs.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we also have guineas down there.
Interesting. Like people ask me about this all the time. And I've grown up in Missouri my entire life. So it's like a very big concern for people who come from other places. And I didn't really realize there's not ticks in Texas. Like what? Are there really not? I mean, ticks are just like a normal part of life. You just pull them off all the time.
You just pull them off and you go. I think that
it's really funny because I get that question all the time. Like, how do you not have anxiety about like ticks and snakes and all this stuff? And I'm like, I guess just because we've gotten ticks. Like, I probably had thousands of ticks in my life.
Yeah. And it's so funny.
I mean, I'm not against like getting rid of them. But
no, for sure. It's so funny even just like how, you know, like it, just in the 2 weeks that we have been here, like the first one that I had to get off, I was just like so apprehensive, but now I'm just like, okay, here, like, you know, so yeah, it's just a part of life. You just, you learn and you, it's just kind of like something that you do. And so, I think there are ticks in Texas. We never saw any because I always accredited it to chickens.
I mean, there must be significantly less. Like if you didn't pull them off your kids all the time, like if you have not pulled off ticks off your kids this year, this season, then you don't really have ticks or you don't go outside. I don't know. One or the other.
Yeah.
Cause all of my kids have had ticks this year. I mean, they just do. Mm-hmm. And I know because I'm going to get asked this, cause I get asked this question all the time and I have no solutions because I don't do anything about it. But like, you seem like the type of person that might actually have something like some kind of protocol you're going to do when like your child gets a tick. So what is that?
I think it depends on how long it's been there. If it's just like something that's still basically crawling, no. If it's been implanted for like over a day, you can obviously remove it correctly. Like you don't want to burn them off. You don't want to like pour anything on them. You want to use, I mean, they have like really handy tick keys now that you can like put on your keychain and it like really gets the tick off well, or you can just use tweezers and you know, you just pull straight up. But so if you plan to, some people like to test them. I've never done that. But you'll want to save it if you do plan to do that. But usually just like make sure it comes off, wash with soap and water. If you want to go even a step further, you can do like a drawing salve on top of the entry point. And then there's even people who will do, it's a homeopathic called Letum.
Okay.
And that's something that you can have on hand for tick bites as well.
Okay.
But I'm not an expert at ticks because they're new for us. So.
Yeah. My only advice is just to check every day because if they're in there for not a very long amount of time, then I think your chances of getting Lyme disease is significantly decreased. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that we are like learning is like, okay, tick check, like turn around. And so just knowing where they like, you know, like the back of the neck, the back of the ear, armpits, groin,
tight spaces.
Yeah. So just making sure that you're checking.
You hardly ever just find one like in the middle of your back.
Exactly.
Like it's always like somewhere, you know, like tight, in kids, like underwear area.
Mm-hmm.
And then also like our boys, we like to keep their hair pretty short all summer. That's something you can do, but
that's smart.
Even still, I found one in my 18-month-old's head, like that I had missed, like it was underneath his hair. But I mean, knock on wood, we've never had a problem and we've had lots of ticks over the years. Lots.
Yeah.
So I can remember getting in like tick nests when I was a kid and just having, you know, hundreds of them.
They kind of gross me out. I'm not going to lie. They're kind of gross. And especially if they have been there for a while, you know, they can get kind of engorged and it's just like, oh, they look so nasty. And they're still they're like fat, you know, like a fat thing, but they still have those little legs.
Yeah. No, they're not great. Yeah. They're not my favorite thing.
No.
Okay. So we got some questions about like homeopathy, and you were just talking about that with ticks. And I have to be honest, I know absolutely nothing about that. I know some stuff about herbs and essential oils, but not that. So what is it? And then how do you use it for your entire family?
Homeopathy is something I've been using since my youngest was little, and not like in a intense way, just like for teething, I would get the Camilla drops and I would see such a quick change that I was like, this actually works and it's natural. So if you're not familiar with homeopathy, it's actually quite an old practice, like over 200 years, I think. It's based on the theory of like cures like. Usually the substance is plant derived. I think like over 60% of homeopathy is plant derived, but there's other sources too, like mineral and even some animal sources, but it's not as much. So basically, like what a substance is capable of causing, it's also capable of curing in very small diluted doses. Whereas like Western medicine sees to kind of suppress symptoms, this is more working with your body and helping it to heal in a more natural way. And so I found so many things that are helpful. The main ones that I use, I am, again, not a homeopathy expert. There's so many good resources out there for like specific remedies. And it's also very helpful because the one that we use the most is Boron. That's the, like the brand that I use the most. And a lot of theirs, it'll say the remedy, but then it'll say underneath like what it's for. So like restlessness, irritability, you know, swelling, like it'll tell you what that remedy is for, which is really helpful. But you can also get guides that will kind of tell you a specific remedy for whatever ailment it is. And they're just these little pellets. Usually they also come in pre-diluted forms for like babies, which is super helpful. Teething is like one of the main things that I use homeopathy for. The Camilla drops, they just come in these like little vials and you just squirt them in their mouth. And it's amazing. Arnica is one that I use very frequently. That one is for like pain, any like pain, swelling. So like if my kid has a headache or if they fall and bruise their knee or anything like that, Arnica is super helpful. There's a bunch. There's so much, and there's so many different remedies. And I was reading the other day, and I'm trying to remember what it was. It was like talking about homeopathy is a science, but the application of it is an art. And basically what that means is like, it can be different for everybody. Like one remedy is not going to work the same for you as it does for somebody else. And that can change from ailment to ailment as well. And so the other thing I love about it is there's no side effects. Like if you take the wrong like remedy, there's no harm, you know, no harm done. You can just try a different one. Or if one doesn't work, you can take a little bit more. You always start with like a very small amount. They're just these little pellets that you dissolve under your tongue. And so it works really, really well for us. In the times that I've used it, again, I'm not an expert, but I do really love like the combo remedies that come already for specific things, like the Camilla drops. Those are specifically for teething. And so they have kind of like a blend of homeopathy remedies, and there's different ones. There's like one called Sleep Calm that's really helpful for, you know, rest, like helping restlessness. So those are very like kind of easy for like novice homeopathy users, which I would very much consider myself a novice in terms of like knowing which remedy to grab.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I like the idea that they come like, what website did you say you get a lot of this from?
There's a lot of different companies out there. I know there's one that even does like a lactose free, but the brand that I use the most is Boron. It's Boiron, which is the one that it's like, you know, the most common, I would say.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse. Okay, okay. So with that, like, I know you use some of that, you use some herbs, you use some essential oils. What is the most frequently used, like, things that you go for all the time, which I'm sure it's elderberry too, in your medicine cabinet for your kids? Like, what are the things that just those common kid things that happen all the time? What are some of the things that you use the most often?
In terms of herbs or just general medicine cabinet?
Just all of it. Yeah, just like all of it.
Yeah. So elderberry, like I don't just sell elderberry syrup. I actually use it anytime my kids start to have the sniffles. We usually are giving elderberry on a daily basis during the winter months, but like in the spring, but anytime my kids start to sniffle, I'm like, here, I'll make some elderberry syrup. Take this. So elderberry syrup's super, super helpful to have. I would say calendula salve is like my natural Neosporin.
Okay.
I use it like literally if my kids come up to me and they say like, mom, I have this rash, or I, you know, I got this cut, or like, go put some calendula salve on it. Like,
yeah,
it's got a lot of soothing properties and it's a great thing to have in your medicine cabinet or growing in your garden. Apple cider vinegar is something that I use on a daily basis to not only cook with, but it's very medicinal. Apple cider vinegar is great to just drink diluted. It's got a lot of gut benefits, but it's also great to make pastes and stuff with. So I keep that on hand, as well as coconut oil. That's another thing that I use to make, whether I'm making like a paste or I'm diluting an essential oil or I'm oil pulling or putting it on a rash, whatever I'm doing. Coconut oil is super helpful to have. Manuka is another one that is great to have on hand. We use Manuka. It's honey.
Yeah.
We use it. It's more of a medicinal honey though. So it can be great for any like GI stuff. It can be great for rashes. It can be great for burns. So that's a super versatile one. And then I use essential oils all the time, all the time. So like lavender, yeah, peppermint, chamomile, eucalyptus, it's like so many, so many different ones that I keep on hand and truly do reach for on a regular basis. And having that type of stuff, like everything I just mentioned, having it on hand, like that's, you don't want to be scrambling and going to the store at like 2 a.m.
Yeah,
to
you're
try.
Always scrambling.
Yes.
It's if you
so,
don't,
because it's so stressful.
It's not, nothing's a problem till it is a problem.
Exactly. Exactly. Like if your kid wakes up and they're like, oh, my ear hurts and you're suspecting an ear infection, if you have the garlic mulling oil, and you can just go ahead and start doing that, and you've got the essential oils that you can rub along the outside of the ear, it, you know, it's, you're empowered when you are prepared. So
right.
That's something that I'm huge, huge about.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, there was something the other day that I needed. Gosh, what even was it? Did that ailment just end up like curing itself?
What was it?
Yeah. There was something that I was like, ah, I'm gonna have to run to Fresh Thyme, which is a, I don't know if you have that where you are, but like, That'd be the only store in the area that I could go that day and get versus like ordering it on Amazon and having 2 days shipping. Man, like, I guess that was fine. Oh, I remember what it was. Yeah, we're just letting it heal on its own. But I was like, man, if this gets any worse, I'm going to have to run to Fresh Thyme like right today.
But it's so interesting though, because there's truth to that too. It's like, our bodies are so smart and they are brilliantly designed and they know how to heal. And we just need to give them the opportunity to do that and support them in doing that instead of just suppressing all of these uncomfortable symptoms that, like a fever has a purpose, you know, and it's so scary and it's hard to see your kid have a fever and they're kind of miserable, but that fever is doing such a good work in their body to rid their body of whatever it's fighting. And then when we go and give them Tylenol, not only are we depleting their glutathione, we are suppressing the fever, bringing the fever down, and then it can't kill, you know, whatever it needs to kill. So there's truth to your statement in terms of like, we're just letting it take care of itself.
Yeah. Well, that I think whenever I remembered what this thing was, it was an eye thing that one of my kids has. Mm-hmm. And it's not a baby, so it's not like a tear duct, you know, it's an eye thing. And it's been like 3 days and the other kids don't have it. So now I'm like, I guess it wasn't contagious, whatever it was. But I did some research on it and decided that like I could put something on it, but it also was just going to heal too. So I'm like, I guess because of that, like I'm not overly worried. And that's always the thing with motherhood. And it's harder in the beginning to find that balance between the fear and then the confidence of like, okay, but this will very most likely turn out better if I don't touch it. And like your fever example is a really good one. And I can remember a time recently where one of my kids, I forget what he had, but he had pain that also was associated with a fever. And I'm trying to remember what the deal was. But anyways, like I wanted to give him a fever or I wanted to give him Tylenol for the pain, but I was like, but then it'll reduce the fever and then he'll be sick even longer. So I was like, well, I guess I can't give him any, you know, like I was hoping to be able to like do it just for the pain, but unfortunately it was also going to reduce the fever, you know, like that's not what we want.
Yeah. But that's why I love having things like other options like homeopathy. Right. You could have given him arnica or there's tinctures that have like turmeric, which is a pain reducer. So, you know, there are other things that you can give for pain other than just pharmaceuticals. So,
yeah, that's true. Without like the intended consequence. I was thinking it's kind of funny because like this is, I think like it's intended to reduce the fever being like the positive thing, but that is not what I want to do. Cause I have seen so many benefits with fevers. Like, I don't know. I've had a lot of things happen where if I get a fever, then I actually get better as opposed to then having to go get antibiotics because, you know, the fever didn't aid in that. So
yeah.
And it does, it's hard. And that's why I love accounts like yours, because you have so many like highlights that are on like fevers and teeth stuff and all of like stomach bugs, all of these things, especially when you're a new mom, really scare you. And then, you know, over time, I have definitely figured out how to be less panicked about things. And I probably tend on the side of like not even treating it naturally these days, like just letting it. I mean, there are definitely times when I do and I need to, but it's amazing how many things will also just go away.
Yeah, for sure. And I can completely relate to that there. I feel like I'm kind of shifting to that too, where it's like, I just kind of just let the body do what it needs to do. And like, you know, sometimes don't even get out my remedies. You know, obviously unless you need them, but like, the body will do what it needs to do. So oftentimes we're just getting in the way.
Oftentimes. Yeah. And I mean, there's an art to it. Like there's definitely times where the natural remedies have been crucial in keeping us from having to go further into not, you know, unnatural remedies or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you get more and more familiar with that, like, and less fearful.
Yeah.
The more things that happen, like, man, there's always something, right? Like
fear,
something with kids.
Yeah. And you know, fear is such a huge moneymaker. that is kind of like the pharmaceutical industry, you know, they kind of run off the back of fear. And, you know, we start these kiddos out on so many different things at such a young age. And then it's just kind of like a cascade and a snowball from there. And you're trying to like play catch up and fix the problems that were caused by these problems, because you were trying to fix something that probably would have just fixed itself to begin with. And so it's just like, and a lot of parents, I hear from a lot of them, are not being heard. You know, they feel like they don't have a choice, and they feel like their pediatrician or their doctor or whatever, they're just like basically telling them, this is what we're doing. And if you don't like it, you can go find somewhere else. Like, and it's really sad. It's really sad when we can't have like an informed consent relationship with our doctors. And I feel like that's a lot of why people are kind of turning towards more Eastern medicine and finding more natural ways and turning less to Western. So,
yeah. And I think we're starting to understand that there's no risk-free choice. I think before it was like, well, but this is the safe choice. And when you're a mom and you're fearful and you're responsible for the well-being of a child, if you could at least make yourself believe that the choice you're making has no consequences, that's a really nice place to be in. But I think we're understanding more and more that every single choice has its pros and its cons, whether it's natural, having certain possible outcomes that might not be favorable. But then the flip side is also very true, which I think people like to ignore sometimes. Like, well, but like I get this all the time with like pregnancy stuff. But that could be really serious. I'm like, yeah, but the remedy is also really serious. Like that also leads to lifelong complications and health problems. So we can't
don't even get us started on a birth talk, you know, because we could, that could be its whole own episode. Like, I am so passionate about the way that we birth in this country being like so flipped upside down that we could literally talk about that all day.
Yeah. I was just talking about that with Erin from Essentially Erin. And we were talking about the same thing, like, because she and I are both, you know, having home births. And we were talking about that same thing with like the risk, because there are people that will come at you with certain things and be like, but this. And I'm like, but there's still risk there. Like, you haven't presented me with something that has zero downsides either. So ultimately, I think, you know, we grow in confidence, we grow with our experiences, and, you know, that happens with small things like, you know, down to how we deal with stomach bugs to bigger things.
Yeah, for sure. And not everybody's going to agree with you all the time. And that's not my job to make everybody agree with me. It's not my job to make people feel comfortable with like the way that I care for my family. And so I think confidence is a huge part of that, especially in motherhood.
Yeah. I could use more of that confidence in my way that I share, because I'm always like, this is what I do, but don't come at me if you don't agree. Because I just like, I just can't, like, I would come out with some really like stronger opinions if I wasn't like afraid of the backlash for it.
Yeah.
Because I have them.
It can be hard. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. We've talked about it before. Yeah.
I got them. But yeah, it's scary because there is two sides to everything. And so, yeah, the thing that'll happen is when you share anything like that, somebody will come up with something to where their child, this happened, and then this very bad thing happened. And we always have like these anecdotal things, or like, I know this one person and they tried that and this happened. And we cannot base our decisions on that. Like, you have to have a better study than like, and I understand, because whenever something happens to you personally, it just carries so much more weight. Mm-hmm. And we're all guilty of that regardless. Like, we're all guilty of taking like a really small sample and then making that just the truth. And I think that's where like I can see those people's comments when I say certain things like, but my daughter, when this happened and I did this, like this terrible thing. And it's like, I'm sure that is true, But that still doesn't change the reasons why I had like this presented to me. I looked at all the facts and this was still the better choice because of the numbers, not like individual circumstances.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's tricky. I want to take a break from this episode to tell you about one of my favorite sponsors, and that is Tubes & Co. Tubes & Co. makes natural and organic skincare products that don't make you compromise on the quality. So they use ingredients that don't have anything synthetic or any of those chemicals that you find on the list of things to avoid, like most products. Yet they actually work really great. I have a full face of Tubes & Co. makeup. And of course you can go more made up by using the bronzer and the highlighter. I usually, a lot of times on my daily wear, just do the foundation, sometimes the concealer, the mascara I absolutely love. And then I'm really into their eyebrow pencil because I'm not a makeup artist, and it makes it really easy for me to do the whole eyebrow thing without really knowing what I'm doing. It has a little brush on the end and then a liner on the other side that's angled and makes it really easy. They also have amazing skincare products. I love their tallow balm. It's incredibly moisturizing, yet uses tallow from grass-fed cows, which you wouldn't think to use tallow on your face, or maybe you do now because it's definitely gotten more popular. But the way that it actually makes its way into your skin versus an oily-based thing like a coconut oil that I've done in the past that sits on top is incredible. It works so much better than a lot of the other natural moisturizers that I've tried. Plus, they have some really amazing scents. They also have cleansers, toners, the full line of facial care, but in an organic and natural way that you don't have to worry about what's actually in it. A lot of times, you know, we have these lists of things that we should avoid, and then whenever we look at all of our favorite products, they have them. You don't have to worry about that with Tubes & Co. It's nourishing, organic ingredients. Very simple yet effective. I'm not a lipstick wearer, but they have beautiful lines of lipstick. So if you are someone who likes a bright, punchy lipstick, but you're worried about all of the stuff going in, they have some wonderful nourishing lipstick as well. Tubes & Co. is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 10% off by using the code FARMHOUSE. So head on over to tubesandco.com and use the code FARMHOUSE to stock up on some organic, nourishing, amazing skincare. Okay, let's really quick, we're going to go into a couple of like big family questions that people had since you and I both have large families. So what are your grocery shopping tips for a big family? Are you still ordering from Azure Standard, from Costco in Tennessee? And what are some of your favorite products?
I love this question because food is medicine for us. And so the money that we don't spend on healthcare, we spend on food. That is where the majority of our budget goes every month. Mm-hmm. And so having Noah and I, like, it's kind of like a regular conversation now, like how much boys eat, because we had two girls and then we had three boys. And now
I know all about
those two younger ones, they're twins. And so they're getting older and now they're like eating more. And my middle son Enoch is almost six. And so he's really starting to eat more. And I'm just like, boys eat so much. And so, yeah, you have to be really smart about it. Even between things like Azure and Costco, there will be prices that are not so great getting it from Azure that are better at Costco, or vice versa. And so it's all about just being informed and doing your research and, you know, kind of price matching and price comparing, but buy in bulk. Whenever you can, buy in bulk. If you have a large family, that is, even if you don't have a large family, like, it's going to save you so much money. And if you store it properly, then you have nothing to worry about. We have three deep freezers. So we always get half beefs when we order beefs from our farmers. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to have our own beef eventually, but we order it from local farmers and we stock our freezer full of all different kinds of meat, of beef. And then fish, we get bulk from Azure. That's a favorite of ours. Their wild caught cod is so good.
Oh, yeah. I am definitely going to write that down. I was literally just wanting to do fish tacos And I was like, but like, where do I find quality cod?
We actually got our wild caught cod from Costco for years. And it's good.
Okay.
It's good, but Azure's is better. So
okay.
I guess my tip is buy bulk, deep freezers, and make as much at home as you can. That's going to save you so much money. It's so much cheaper to make 2 loaves of bread than buy 2 loaves of clean bread. Like, I think organic bread at the store can be like close to six or $7 a loaf, and you can make, you know, double that for that amount, or triple that even. It's so much cheaper to make your own at home.
Yeah.
Yogurt, cheese, like, you know, you're like the queen of making things at home. But even just like not eating out, like, we don't eat out a ton. We eat basically all of our meals at home. We home cook our meals, and then we have leftovers. It just saves you so much money as a bigger family, even not as a bigger family, to be able to make your own food. And you learn so much too about just processed foods versus, you know, foods that you make yourself, even just like something as simple as popcorn. It's cheaper to make your own popcorn, and it's also healthier because you're not going to have, you know, the forever chemicals that they lace those popcorn bags with when you pop them, and then you heat up the plastic inside of there. And it's so much cheaper to make your own popcorn, and it tastes better. That's the other thing about making your own food. It tastes so much better. But as far as like our favorite products, we do still, Costco's like 2 hours away from us now. So it's definitely going to be like once a month, once every 2 months type deal versus where we were in Texas. It was like a 20-minute drive. So that's going to be a little bit different. We're going to have to really stock up. But Azure, we get a drop close by, and it's great. Our drop came like the day after we got here. We had ordered it and
stocked up.
Yeah. So, we still have Azure. So we get things like from Azure, we get a lot of like our grains and our chicken feed we get from Azure. And a lot of like nuts, and we love their dairy. Like, their yogurt is actually really good if you're not currently making yogurt. And then from Costco, it's more like we stock up on frozen vegetables. Azure has frozen vegetables too. Honestly, Costco and Azure, we get consistently like butter, cheese. They have like these huge block cheeses that we get. And the butter comes in like cases that we use butter all the time.
Right.
And so that's a huge thing that we get from Azure. And then Costco, it's like fresh produce. You know, they have a lot of good frozen fruit, frozen vegetables, and just like the organic selection at both is so, so good. So I can't really say like, we use one more than the other. We use both. Mm-hmm. Just, we're going to have to be more strategic about our Costco trips.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's how I
but I do too. Like the Azure's. I do like the Azure's free. You don't have to pay a membership to be a part of Azure, and you can just order as you need it. So I love that. And I love that they're like a Christian based company, which is great. So,
yeah. And one thing I always like, I personally don't feel like I need to majorly crunch numbers and budget. And this has always been the case. Like, even when we were living on our one small income, when I buy certain things, so like when you cook from scratch and you're buying all ingredients and you're not buying any convenience foods, I feel like as long as nothing's going to waste, which it's not, because I rotate things. I make sure that we don't throw anything out. I don't have to, like, what I'm spending is like as low as I can spend. Like, I don't really have to track every little thing because I'm not buying like inherently wasteful items. Another thing you were saying about like buying in bulk, not only do you save like per unit or per ounce or whatever in bulk, but also just having your house stocked so that you don't have to go out to eat because you weren't prepared. That alone saves so much money. So I'm with you. Like, there are certain things that we just keep a ton of because if I have it, we're not going to have to go out to eat. Like, it's the cheapest possible way that I could be cooking. And so I don't even have to like strictly, you know, budget and look at every little thing and like cost compare. I'm like, I'm buying organic grains. Like, there's maybe it's a little cheaper somewhere else, but like, that's already a frugal, healthy choice.
That's so true. That's such a good point, for sure. And convenience foods, are just that, like, you're going to pay a higher price for them, and they're usually going to have like less than ideal ingredients. And so, yeah, if we can just take it back to the basics and just cook from scratch. And I didn't grow up doing that. I wasn't taught how to cook. Everything I've learned, I have learned since, you know, we've had kids. So,
yep. Cool. Okay. Well, tell us where we can follow along with you as you build out your 70-acre homestead in Tennessee, follow along with family stuff and natural remedies and your shop. Yeah. Tell us where to find you.
Yeah. I'm on Instagram mainly. That is where you will find me in stories, usually every day. And I get posts up as I can. And I try and make those very accessible in my highlights if they are like remedy based. But Instagram at Purely Parsons. And then I have a website that has more resources, topics that I can't really talk about on Instagram anymore, like vaccines. And my faith is on my website as well in detail, and our shop. So that is just purelyparsons.com.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing. It's always good to chat with you. And maybe since you're more this way, we should get together sometime. I mean,
yeah,
you're still down in Tennessee, yeah, but still. Awesome. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lisa.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast, and I will see you in the next one.